Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. It is Monday, the 20th of September, and wow, we've got a lot to get into today. I mean, this show is there's so much football to talk about. And I love it because this is going to encompass 2 days. Between today and tomorrow, we will get you filled in on everything. You know, I said last week, I said after the first week, everyone overreacts on Monday. Things start coming down. You start coming down to earth on Tuesday. And then after the second game, the over-exaggerations start to kind of fade away, and you start looking for trends and things that are true. Tomorrow, that's what I'm going to give you. Things that I think I was right about, things I think I was wrong about, but in a truth aspect, removing all emotion. Having emotions, rather, but not being emotional. But as for today on the Cave Show with PLR, we're talking about the Cards, and somehow they pulled that one out. The Bears found a way to win. We definitely going to get into a little bit of Jameis. I think that's really important. And, oh, stop the presses. Tua and Wentz are banged up. Probably never heard that before. At 1:15, we have scheduled to call in Taylor, former Nebraska Cornhusker quarterback. This gentleman's accolades are insane. All-American, drafted in the Canadian Football League, the National Football League, Major League Baseball, first team All-Big Eight. That's before they became the Big Ten. Before they came to Big 12. And now they only have 18, so they should go back to the Big 8. Like I said, there's so many accolades. And get to catch up with him today and talk about what's going on with him. And I know this last weekend, Oklahoma played Nebraska. Talk about what that game meant when he played in it. So we have him scheduled to call in about 12 minutes. ASU football, I'll hold my tongue until I get to it. And then Tatis got into it with one of his teammates. Is that really a big deal? Was it? Was that a big deal over the weekend? We'll discuss that as well. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get down there. Check them out. Let them know that PLR sent you. 10% off of your purchase once you tell them that. Also, you can become a club member, become a club member, get access to the members lounge. Sorry about that. It is Monday. In the members lounge, you get a lock and it backs up to a humidor. Never worry about the sticks going bad. Tons of couches, tons of seats. Best place to watch the game. They have all the league passes. Monday Night Football is always a hoot to be in there. A lot of people, a lot of fun. Now, if you don't want to become a member, no issue still. A lot of great places for you to relax, sit down, enjoy a beer or wine as they serve adult beverages, and enjoy one of the best steak selections you're going to find in the Valley. So everything is great when you're there. Also, if you can't make it in, there's no worries. Just go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Order your steak early enough in the day, and they will ship out the exact same day. All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and tobacco. Our phone line is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. I want to open it up and get a few calls in before we go to break and guest. So let's do that right now. Thanks for holding. I see a caller on. Thanks for holding. You're on the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
What's up, Lou, my friend? How are you?
Yeah. Well, it's one thing when players and coaches argue with or umpires, but your own teammates, you know, that's going a bit too far. I think they really just blew that all out of proportion.
We're talking about Tatis.
Tatis.
You know what?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. You have a favorite relative, correct?
Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't say I have a favorite.
I'll say, yeah, let's use your brother, because your brother's the smart one in the family because he's a Bears fan, right?
All right.
So, you and your brother ever argued?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. I think it's a whole do about nothing. You have two guys that are playing in a game that means a lot because the Cardinals are up after that game, 2.5 in the final wild card spot. And you have two guys that both want to win. They see it differently. Machado is, 29? So he's a little bit older. He's been through this. With the Dodgers, when they made a run, he knows what it's like to be on a good team. Tatis is young.
Yeah.
And I think he's just letting him know, hey, you know, the team is bigger than you. And I think it's good, to be honest with you. I think it's good when someone pulls young guys aside and let them know, hey, look, no, not right now. You know, I think I like it, to be honest with you. I really do. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
What,
you know, he made the point, though. I mean, it's not all about him. I think maybe there's a little bit of a point about that, but you have to go on about it. I mean, really.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but sometimes when someone's not listening, you're like, yo, dude, you need to listen. I'm telling you right now, you need to chill the hell out. And I guess that's the politest way I can say it. You know, you need to chill the hell out. But
there
is one. Chill the hell out. So I think that's basically what he was trying to tell him. You know, look, calm down. We're good. We're trying to get into this thing, and you're, you know, messing around for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe that's it. But
I mean, when you're fighting for a playoff spot, you know, you're going to, you know, it's going to be. Or if
it's
not,
it's always going to be a little something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's always going to be a little something. And so I'm different. I have no problem with it being a little something. I'd rather have these guys arguing over that, showing me passion, showing me a will to win, showing me one guy trying to tell a young guy, look, get your head out of your, you know what? We're trying to win. It's not about all that other nonsense. Let's do this. I would prefer that than him just not saying anything.
Right.
You know, I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Speaking of guys named Shoney or Show Me, he pitched after all. Even though a few days before that they were saying, well, Ohtani is not going to pitch for the rest of the year. Little did we know.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What's your thoughts on the MVP? Is he the MVP?
I think he's a reasonable candidate for MVP.
Hmm. See,
I
don't think he's the MVP. No, I don't. I think Vlad Jr. is the MVP.
Another good choice.
And here's why.
Yeah.
Here's why.
You might have a point there.
To me, there's a difference when you get to swing for the fences because your team isn't going anywhere. You know, he gets to play free, but he gets to play free. Whereas Vlad is playing with playoff ramifications. He can't just swing for the fences. If it calls for him to single or double or do something, he has to do that. Because we get mesmerized in sports by everything being numbers, as opposed to sometimes there being some substance to what's going on. And so by that I mean, when we get to MVP, sometimes we have to go by gaudy numbers, as opposed to what if someone's numbers aren't quite as good, but what they're doing means more. You know, I remember, and I'm not going to pick on the Cubs, but I remember a time when Sammy Sosa hit a bunch of home runs. This is before he started hitting 60 a year. But one year he hit like 30-some home runs. And I remember one of the announcers saying, he's hit a lot of home runs, but a lot of them have come with the Cubs down a lot or up a lot. Well, what difference does it make then? That's empty numbers. So, and I'm not saying, you know, I think what he's done with the pitching and the hitting means a lot. Don't get me wrong. And who knows when we'll ever see it again. I just don't want us to get mesmerized by someone who's carrying a team to the playoffs.
Exactly.
But yeah, my man. So that's – oh, and your Cowboys, by the way, good win.
Yes, they did.
Found a way.
56-yard field goal.
Found a way.
At the end.
God save. Terrible clock management by the coach, but
that
the win is all that counts. The win is all that counts.
A win is a win. A win is a win.
A win is a win. Yes, sir. But all right, my man. Well,
all right,
I appreciate
Paul.
You.
Okay.
All right, buddy. We'll talk.
Hopefully you get a chance to call my show at some point, too.
You know what, Lou? Actually, my time is hopefully after next weekend frees up for a couple weeks. We on Saturday, I know this week, I get the privilege of coaching 3 basketball teams in the playoffs. So I'll be busy from about 8 in the morning till about 7 at night. Hopefully they win them all, and I'm not just sitting there, but hopefully I'm coaching all the way through.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
On that note, I'll take my leave, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, buddy. Have a great Monday. My man Lou, good friend of the program, appreciate it every time he calls in. Well, look, let's jump to a commercial. We come back. Hope to have Steve Taylor with us here on the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Monday, the 20th of September. Thank you for joining us. Today, make sure that you are definitely listening to us. Different ways to get us live, of course, every day as you're doing now. Easiest way is to go to sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. Hit that listen live button, and there we are. You also can catch us on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Just find The Cave Show is brought to you by The Sports Cave. And there we are. Download the apps. That way you know when we upload a brand new show, and definitely check it out at your leisure. Also, we're on KSRN, replay of our live show, 3 o'clock every day. Download that app as well. Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. So many ways to get a hold of us. Like I said, we have scheduled to call in very shortly Steve Taylor, former quarterback for the Nebraska Corn Huskers. Can't wait to speak to him. That's going to be a good time. I actually, what's funny, a lot of people don't know this. We used to watch a lot of Nebraska football growing up. When you live in Chicago, you get certain things on TV. You get a lot of the Big Ten, of course, a lot of Notre Dame. And then back in those days, you got a lot of the Big Eight. Saw Oklahoma play a lot. Saw Nebraska play a lot. And then you always got a Texas game sprinkled in every now and then. So it wasn't like it is now where there's 8,000 networks showing 8,000 games. You pick and choose what you want. No, there was no Big Ten network. There was no ACC network, SEC network. There was no cable. You got what CBS, NBC, and ABC gave you. Mind you, I didn't say Fox because there was no Fox. So you always got those games. And they were always entertaining. And the one thing you realize with sports at a young age, you go along with those rivalries. You pick your side, and that's who you tape up for. It really is. Like, I like Nebraska more than I like Oklahoma. So whenever they played, I rooted for Nebraska. Texas and Oklahoma, when they played, that was the one time I switched. I went back to Oklahoma. Loved the wishbone. Loved watching that. And then in the Big Ten, you know, Illinois wasn't that good. Let's be honest. But I watched them. But we always got the Michigan game. I like them better than Ohio State. Still do, honestly. Still do. So you pick, and natural rivalries as you watch them, you just pick the side because you really didn't have a horse in the race. You just picked, and you went along with it. And it's amazing how as you grow up and you start going, you know, you start watching more games or you go to college, how all that kind of changes a little bit. It can feel like some of those old teams that you did as a kid. But then your loyalty is where it's at for you. I find it funny that when you look back, and I'm looking back and I watched Nebraska play Oklahoma this weekend, and I'm still finding myself rooting for Nebraska, excuse me. It's amazing. Still, I don't think you ever really shake those. You know what I mean? I don't think you ever really completely shake those. Like, even in the NBA, they're not even there anymore. I used to like the Sonics. That was the NBA CBS tape delayed game of the week. A lot. We had them a lot. So I think it's kind of good that we have so much now, but I also think it was good the way it was because now you get bombarded with so much. So much. Sometimes it's hard to get through all the weeds to find what you're really looking for. But as I reminisce, took you there with me. Couple things this weekend as we wait for Steve Taylor to call in. A couple things this weekend that really caught my eye on the college side of things. I'm really worried about ASU. I really am. A lot of people have them in a different place than me. Now, I'm a Sun Devil. So favoritism will always mean something to me. But this team really worries me. Another 13 penalties? That's a lot. That's a lot of penalties. They had over 12 the first week. And you think they're getting better, but they weren't. It's someone said something to me a while ago about the Sun Devils, and I didn't want to believe it. And I'm still trying to convince myself not to believe it, but I'm starting to see where they're coming from. They said to me, it is hard for a team that doesn't have football pedigree history to all of a sudden be football pedigree. Let me say that again. It's hard for a team with no football pedigree history to all of a sudden have football pedigree. I think that's a problem. When you look at teams like Alabama, Clemson now, or that they have so much to draw people there. And I hear people say you can't recruit in a small town. That's hogwash. You've been in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Big city. Not a booming city. Alabama is a university that you go to, and when you graduate, you leave. Your goal isn't to hang out in Tuscaloosa the rest of your grown-up life. Get your degree, move on. Yet, and still, people go there for football. So, as I back this up, I think, well, wait a second. The city of Phoenix, Maricopa County, is the fastest growing county in the country. So not only could you go to ASU, people stay here. They live here. Yet we still have a hard time. And it makes me think, is it the way we recruit, who we recruit, where we recruit, or how we recruit? We never have the depth. Our players that are good are great. And if we do, we get, what, one that develops, two maybe? With teams like Alabama, they just keep it going. Clemson, they just keep it going. For a while there, SC, they just kept it going. But we don't. I'm the one living in a fantasy thinking that we're going to get there. Because part of me really thinks maybe it's starting to be me. There are games when you're trying to win that you have to win when you're trying to become that program. Going up to BYU is one of those games you have to win. And they didn't. That's a problem. That is a real problem. You can't lose that game. After the game, Coach Herm Edwards said, this was a hard lesson to learn. Well, technically, your season is over. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, how is their season over? Well, their season's over because they have to be perfect now just to win the pack. They don't have the strength of schedule to come back off of BYU loss. Even if they beat Colorado, UCLA, Stanford, Utah, Washington, only one of those teams as of today are ranked. And that's a UCLA team that fell from 12 to 24. There's no strength of schedule left. So you're looking at a team that had to run the table to be in the chance, to be in the hopes for a playoff berth. So once they gave that away, that was it. That was it. And when you look at the stats of this game, they may as well have just taken the gun and aimed it at their foot and just fired away. Because that's exactly what they did. The Sun Devils do a lot of little things well. They do. But what is it about this team you can hang your hat on? When you play Alabama, they have a personality. You know what you're going to get. When you play Ole Miss, a Lane Kiffin team, you know what you're going to get. But what's the personality of this team? It's a team that wants to be a running team. But when you're a running team, you also usually are a good defensive team. Are they really a good defensive team? I like Coach Harm a lot. And usually his teams are disciplined. This team is disciplined. So when you look at this team, sometimes you think, well, wait a second. What kind of team is it? Is it a pass team? Run first team? What exactly are we getting? And it's that type of inconsistency with the team that's consistent. And I was polite. I said 13 penalties. Correct myself. 16. BYU had 3 penalties for 25 yards. The Sun Devils had 16 penalties for 121 yards and 4 turnovers. Lost 2 fumbles, 2 interceptions. You don't win those games on the road. I don't care if you are 7-13 on third down. I don't care if you do have more passing yards. You don't win those games. You just don't. And that's why I wonder, is this a team that's a middling team? Is there going to be a year when we look up and we say, if the Sun Devils go 10-2, that's not enough. Is that time coming anytime soon? When you're the Arizona State Sun Devils and you have the history that they have of just playing football in the Pac-12, not being a national powerhouse, at what point does 10-2, 9-3, 8-4 become not really acceptable? Because what I'm going to tell you is when you end up 7-5, 8-4, 9-3, and the Pac-12, you go into all the same bowl games, either in El Paso, or you're down here in Phoenix, or you're out in California, same bowls. And I know a lot of them have tie-ins, but same bowls. Las Vegas Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Holiday Bowl, whatever the bowl is up in San Francisco, Sun Bowl, you get the same stuff. When you get the same stuff, you want to be playing in the Sugar Bowl for a possible title. Fiesta Bowl for a possible title. So I don't know the last time they were just in that. The Rose Bowl for a possible title. You don't get that with the Sun Devils. And what's crazy is every time they have one of those years where they go, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2, we always do the, oh, man, if we could have got one play back there in that Washington game, we would have been 11-1. Boy, if we could have got another play back in that UCLA game, we'd be undefeated now. But we never do. But yet and still, we always do the, oh, but if we just got. Is it time to face reality? And I'm not talking about as a fan, because as a fan, you never will. But as someone that covers this team, are my expectations that this team is ever going to be one of those teams? Is it outlandish? Because I'm really starting to believe it is. Are we really better than some of the other schools that may not have Pac-12 swag, but be just as good? Are we really better than San Diego State, long run? Fresno State, long run? Are we really? When it comes to recruiting, are we really that much better? Anyway, like I said, just some thought. Just some thought about my coming to grips with the fact that we may not be a pedigree school, not only because we haven't been a pedigree school, but we're not really doing anything to become one. Can't show a PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you check us out every single day on the social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. SportsCave.com is the website. Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter as well, at PLR on Sports. And we're still laboring to get Steve Taylor here. Hopefully we will have him before the show winds up. So let's talk about what went on yesterday in the NFL. People, let me tell you something. If you aren't on board with Kyler Murray, you have an issue.
Here's Kyler Murray. He's done. Oh, what a catch at the five. Christian Kirk does it again. Kyler Murray with the fadeaway, fading back from the zero blitz. Perfect ball to Christian Kirk.
First off, let me get this out there. I want Aqib Talib to call every Kyler Murray game the rest of the year. That dude has energy. I loved every second of his call, every second of him calling that game. And the Cardinals found a way. And let me rephrase it. Maybe they didn't find a way. Maybe Minnesota gave them a way. But either way, they ended up winning 34-33. The Vikings had a chance at the end, and it went something like this.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is good! No, he
missed
it.
It's so good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right.
What a gut punch to a team. Ball that play after play toward the end fought its way back.
Oh, missed it by like a foot.
And just,
oh my God,
How did they, and I would just miss that. That, hey, hold on. Listen to this again. Listen to the beginning.
High
my
snap,
man again.
Put down. Joseph, come on. It is good. No, he missed
it. Good.
Are you kidding me, Mr.?
That is classic. My man is into it. It is good. Wait a second. Oh, no, he missed it.
High snap. Put down. Joseph, come on. It is good. No, he
missed
it.
That's so good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right. How do you miss it? How do you miss it? He said the kick is good. Oh, no. He missed it right. Can you imagine that being your personal life? Like, on the road, can you imagine that being your personal life? I just got the phone number. Oh, no, I didn't. It's only six digits. No, it's only six digits. Do I guess the last one, or does that mean? That's what happened. My man literally said, it's good. Wait, no. It's not good. But the Cardinals found a way. Let me tell you the difference between the old Cardinals and these new Cardinals that I was 100% wrong about. These are the games they lost. 3 years ago, they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. Actually, it wasn't even a defeat. They tied the lowly Lions. This is what they would do then. But when you're a good team, luck sometimes finds you. And make no mistake about it, this is a good team. I've already told you I think I was wrong. They have enough, and they have the quarterback to get them there. I remember Keyshawn Johnson said, I couldn't draft him, too little for me, too small. I wonder if he's sprinkling hot sauce or ketchup or tartar sauce on those words. He probably wishes he had a quarterback like Kyler Murray to throw the ball. Maybe then he'd get through a whole season without and catch more than one touchdown if you catch 100 passes. Kyler Murray is the truth, the 100% truth. You hear the crowd in the background. You hear the announcers. Here's his long pass to Rondale Moore.
Reverses. Murray looks long. He's got a receiver. Moore with a blocker. Rondale Moore, the rookie, touchdown Arizona. Wow. 77 big ones. Who needs 2 minutes, Gus? Woo!
These aren't the Cardinals announcers. They're not the Cardinals announcers. These are the national television announcers. When they're getting hyped, and they try for the most part, I mean, they're human when they call games. They get a little excited. But they're not a little excited. They're hyped. They're hyped because Kyler Murray does that to you. That's what he does. Because he's that talented. And tackling him, this is where his size helps him. It is hard to tackle an elusive football player when they're smaller. Because your natural reaction or your natural form is to tackle someone that's taller, so you're grabbing higher. He gets out of that. And he never seems to take a clean hit. Because his hitting level, his pad level, is below what you're used to hitting. He wasn't done. He did more.
By time, Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. 15 yards. Kyler Murray doing what he does here. Creating that extra second. Patrick Peterson had his eyes in the backfield. DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to keep working when Kyler runs, when he scrambles.
That's something Patrick Peterson should know from practice. Get your eyes out of the backfield. He's a former Cardinal. He played with Kyler Murray the last 3 years. He should know by now that's not good. But what do? You have to look up at him because at any point in time, just take off. When you look around the National Football League right now, those teams that are winning outside of Tom Brady, you always have to say that, you have a dynamic quarterback. The Bills, dynamic quarterback. The Ravens, dynamic quarterback. The Chiefs, dynamic quarterback. Can move. Seattle, dynamic quarterback that can move. The Packers, a dynamic quarterback that can move. The Niners have a good, solid quarterback. What did they do? They moved up in the draft. Draft the guy that's a dynamic quarterback. That's what you do. That's what the NFL is becoming outside of Tom Brady. The Rams with Stafford. Stafford isn't a runner. I get it. He's more of your old-school quarterback. But look, I've given you two teams. Two teams. Out of all the other teams, they have quarterbacks that can move. And if you look at who was drafted this year, hell, when he's right, when he's out of trouble, Deshaun Watson, dynamic mobile quarterback. And when you look at the draft and see who's drafted, those are the quarterbacks that are drafted. Those are the quarterbacks that are thriving. It's a different, different game. This isn't 1981 anymore. Were you looking for someone 6'4", big, strong, big arm, stand in the pocket, shave without shaving cream? Those days are gone. Because you need a quarterback that can pass, that can move. Quarterback.
Murray, quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown, perfect. Twelve-yard run.
You never know. You never know when he's going to tuck it, when he's going to take off, and when he's going to do his thing. You just never know. Now we get to switch gears. Talk a little bit about the Bears. And we'll get more into the Cardinals tomorrow. We'll get more into the Bears tomorrow. But I want to talk a little bit of Bears before we get out of here. Definitely want to talk a little bit of Bears before we get out of here. Let's send you to break. We'll be right back. We'll do that. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Like I said before, make sure you are following us on social media at The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Cave is with a K. and you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLROddSports. On right now, we'll get into the Bears. We'll push that to tomorrow. On right now is one of the most accomplished quarterbacks you're going to find. I remember watching him play. I chose the Nebraska side, that natural rivalry between them and Oklahoma. But All Big Eight first team twice, Sugar Bowl MVP, Kickoff Classic MVP, San Diego Hall of Fame. This man has done just about everything, drafted into the NFL, CFL, Grey Cup champion. You name it, he's done it. He's on the line with us right now. Nice to talk to you. The great Steve Taylor's on the Cave Show with PLR. Steve, thank you for calling in. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I had a little oops this morning, but I'm trying to recover from it so I can make my tea time Wednesday and Thursday. But man, this father time is undefeated. I've heard that so many times, and I'm really starting to believe it. Yeah,
it's my kids remind me all the time. They remind me in subtle ways. My eldest son will beat me up in a video game, and then say, "I heard you used to be good at these. Dad, what happened?" So they take their little subtle shots to tell me I'm old, but that's okay. I'm good with that.
I feel you. Yeah.
But listen, I really appreciate you calling in. And listen, I was a fan of those Cornhuskers. I growing up in Chicago, we got so many of your games on TV, and I thought about that this weekend when I saw Nebraska playing Oklahoma, and I know the rivalry for you guys is still strong. For us that weren't part of it, it seems a little different, but can you just talk about those Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry games and what that was like?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much there. I mean, it's one of the greatest rivalries of all time. I mean, everything just kind of – the stage was set. You know, you're in the same conference. You always played late in the year. It was normally for a monumental – it was a monumental game for the – you know, to win the Big Eight, and then more than likely you're playing in the Orange Bowl for the national championship. I mean, to have two teams in the same conference, you know, ranked one and two consistently, you know, is really unheard of. You know, there's only a few teams that can talk like that, maybe Florida and Alabama, some stuff like that. But, you know, it was incredible. And then for them to be at their best, and we were at our best as well, you know, it just made it a natural rivalry. I mean, you had – it was almost the good guy versus the bad guy. You know, Oklahoma were the bad guys, Nebraska were the good guys. You know, Coach Osborne was a coach who did it all, where Barry Switzer was a motivator, you know, didn't call the plays, that kind of stuff, just motivated the players and made crucial decisions, you know, throughout the game. He had that naturalness, and Coach Osborne used to play into that as well. You know, he used to say, well, I'm not a figurehead coach like Switzer. We coach around here, you know, and then he was a strong Christian guy. You know, he wore his faith. He talked about his faith and everything. Where you never, you know, not that Switzer was not. It was just a difference in personalities. They ran the wishbone. We ran the eye. You know, the power eye. You know, we weren't a wishbone team, but we could throw the ball a little bit, and we can also run the option. And the way Coach Osmond created that, you know, so you know, their quarterbacks had bandanas and fur coats on the sidelines, and we had Oxford button down shirts with sweaters. You know, stuff like that, and. You know, I think we kind of fed off one another, you know, because we're the good guys, you're the bad guys and everything. So it was just a natural fit. And those games, you know, were huge. And, you know, that you just look forward to that game in November because you know it's going to be a big game.
There are so many great players that have come out of San Diego. And I think a lot of people don't realize how many players really have come from there. What made you go to Nebraska?
You know, I tell you, it's my past there is really ironic because I'm originally from Fresno, California, which is in the Valley.
Okay.
I grew up there playing football, and I never lost a game in Fresno. I left when I was 16, and what happened was that the coach at the time took the new head coaching job in Lincoln High School in San Diego. I didn't know much about San Diego. You know, we're pretty proud of ourselves in Fresno because we had guys like Tim McDonald, Henry Elliott, you know, Charles Young, you know, guys like that came out and played. and went on to the next level, and primarily, you know, in the valley in a small town. But when he told me I had a chance to go to Lincoln High School, which is where Marcus Allen went to school, you know, I was like, he said, you've been a wider market, and you can pick and choose your school if no things went well. So I followed him down there, and that's exactly what happened. And I had a lot of success and, you know, broke Marcus Allen's passing records and rushing records, which is really unheard of. I still don't believe it to this day because obviously he was quite the player. And his younger brother, Damon Allen, was a star too at Lincoln High School. So anyway, so I was recruited by Nebraska and just kind of just went from there. I remember going to a football camp at Cal Berkeley, driving from San Diego after my junior year. We're riding a car, and he asked me, hey, Steve, what school do you want to go play for? And I was like, you know what? I want to be a Husker, University of Nebraska. I had just seen him play in the 83-84 Orange Bowl with Mike Rozier, Turner Gill, you know, Charles Fryer, and what they did and everything. And it was, and the way they ran that option, Turner was just a perfectionist. And he can throw the football, you know. And I, in high school, I can throw the ball, so I want to go somewhere where I can do that, you know. So, and he sent off my tapes to the University of Nebraska, Coach Osborne and Steve Peterson. And you, and lo and behold, I got back about 2 weeks later. They sent me a little card saying that they're only going to take one quarterback in the country, and I was their first pick. I mean, it was like winning the lottery. So I was just ecstatic. So it made my recruiting process a whole lot easier than what these kids are going through now, because I knew where I was going to go to school. I was going to go take my other visits and have a great time, but I knew I was going to Nebraska. So, you know, it's kind of storybook for me. Then obviously I came here, not obviously, but I came here. And as a freshman, I played immediately, which was really unheard of at the University of Nebraska. You know, I was the first true sophomore to ever start at quarterback and whatnot. So then it just kind of went from there.
That is awesome. On the case of PLR online right now, the great Steve Taylor is online with me. I watched you play in your style of play. And back then, and I was saying it before you dialed in, back then, you had to be 6'4", you had to stand in the pocket, you had to throw, you know, have a big arm, and I kid around and say you had to shave without shaving cream. These are all the tricks that you had to be to play a quarterback in the league. Now, when you look around the league and you see a Kyler Murray who technically should be too small, you see a Lamar Jackson who's supposed to, you know, learn to stay in the pocket, or a Josh Allen, big but mobile. You start to see these guys, and Patrick Mahomes that can move and throw, Russell Wilson. What would it have been like for you if your quarterback style now or then was playing right now?
My wife and I, you know, she's a kid about this, you know, and many people say this, not that I'm any different than any other players, but there are a lot of great players before me, in particular like Damon Allen and so forth, but you know, I was on that national stage and whatnot. But you know, I was probably, you know, just a few years before my time, if you can say it like that, you know, because I could run the football and I could throw it, and you know, but you know, and just socially things were different, you know. At that time, you only had what Warren Moon really was the one that was in the NFL, and you know, he had to go to Canada for 5, 6, 7 years and win 5 Grey Cups. If I'd have known that, then I probably would have done something differently. You know, so we had to take a different route, unfortunately, just because of times. And but now, you know, black quarterbacks are the face of the NFL organizations, you know, and they're doing a great job at that. So, yeah, that was, you know, that's just timing like anything else. You know, a lot of players are upset that they didn't make the money that people were making when they were playing in the NFL in the early 80s, and then the salaries just took off, you know. So, no, we're just thankful for what the NFL has done and how football has transitioned into that, you know. And you just, they want mobile quarterbacks of all sizes, you know, that can move around and throw the football. So it's just the way it is. You know, I love watching TV now and seeing all these great mobile quarterbacks, in particular black quarterbacks, you know, that are starting. And then you see them at second and third positions, you know, they're backups, you know, which is unheard of, you know. So there's just been a lot of great accomplishments there, what we've done in America, and that's why America is the best place to live, you know, the land of opportunity. And we still got to fight, you still got to do what you need to do, and we're still fighting that battle, but we have come a long way, and it's just great to see. So I kind of lived through those guys, you know. Some guys set the stage for me
before me, and then guys after me, and it's just a great thing to watch on Sundays.
Yeah, it is so much fun. It's just I talk about guys like Kyler Murray a lot. I live in the Phoenix market. I'm from Chicago, and you know they just drafted Justin Fields, and it's just amazing. I think the one day we're going to look up and it's going to say quarterback slash super athlete, because what they're doing back there is just utterly amazing.
I mean, you say that and you think of Cordell Stewart. That was actually his nickname, Slash. You know, I remember that when he came out of Colorado, and he started off at the wide receiver. You know, you kind of have to work your way into quarterback. You know, Randall Cunningham was a punter, and he had to work his way into the quarterback. So you're exactly right, and a lot of guys have done that. But now, you know, you're the number one draft pick. You know, a mobile guy that's 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". You know, even Doug Flutie, you know, had to go to Canada for 10-11 years and I played with him up there, set all kind of records and do what he did before they would give him a shot at Buffalo, a really legitimate shot to be at Buffalo, you know. But now with the shotgun and the way offenses have evolved, you know, you're in a shotgun, so you got passing lanes, you can see, you can read things a lot easier. So you don't have to be as tall. You know, you don't have to be 6'4", 6'5", 240, 250 like the Mannings and the Cam Newtons and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just a great thing, and these offenses are great. There's just naturally, you create so much space, and with that much, if you got some ability to run, you know, you can make things really difficult for defenses.
Yeah, I kid around. I say there's all the quarterbacks in the NFL that fit this, and then there's Tom Brady. So we're gonna put Brady over there because he's the exception to every rule. But
he's
the exception to
every rule there is. That guy is phenomenal. You know, and Peyton Manning too. I admire Peyton Manning for a guy that wasn't mobile, but the way he could dissect defenses and read coverages and game plan you just really respected them for what they could do at that quarterback position, because they were probably pure. Peyton Manning is probably the only one that was probably a pure pocket guy, where, you know, Brady could elude you. Brady got good feet, could move around, obviously, you know, that kind of stuff. But Peyton would just beat you with his mind and his arm and just his quarterback knowledge.
On the line here, Cave Show with PLR, the great, great Steve Taylor. I sent you a text and you said you looked up to Kenny Stabler. So what was it about? It is what's funny. A lot of my younger listeners are going to say, who's that? So I'm going to tell them, go to Google, number 12 with the Raiders. What was it about the snake that you like?
You know, I'm from Fresno. And like I said, so I grew up, you know, watching them play in Oakland. So they were nearby. And the snake was a smooth lefty and could move around. You know, he could move around. That's why they call him the snake. Can move around through a nice fluid pass. I love this face mask, and you know, they had Ray Guy and all those guys, and the Cliff Branch and Kenny King and, you know, Mark Van Egan and all those guys. I grew up in Fresno watching them play, and I just loved the snake. He was just fluid. He was awesome. He had a swag to him, a kind of confidence to him, you know. And I got to meet him about 10 years ago at the Sugar Bowl, because they had all the MVPs back, and I got to meet him before he passed. And I mean, it was just awesome to see him. And he walked up to me, and he just said, hey, brother, what's up, man? How you doing? I love your jacket. I mean, he just had this way with him. I mean, he was smooth. This is a white guy with gray hair, you know. He just had this way about him, and that's why I knew why they called him Snake. And we just hung out for 2 or 3 days, and, you know, he passed away later, about 4 or 5 years after that. But, you know, it was great. He was just smooth. He was just a great quarterback. And they had some great at the time. That's when they had Terry Bradshaw and Starbuck and all those guys and everything, and Oakland held their own. So I just grew up watching him. Then obviously later it was Joe Montana. You know, I wore the number 3 in high school because that's what he wore at Notre Dame, and I watched him play and smooth Joe. So those are really my quarterback, you know, guys I looked up to. And then obviously, you know, what Turner Gill did at Nebraska influenced me as well. So,
right.
But those are probably the three that – and I like Terry Bradshaw because he could just drop back and throw the football. But you either were a Raiders fan or a Dallas fan or a Pittsburgh fan. It was one way or the other. So you know, that's just the way it was, and the snake was just smooth as silk.
Yeah, you could not be all three. One last question before we talk about the trip and everything you have going on. What happened to the Big 8 that turned to the Big 12 that now is about to go back to the Big 8 and all those natural rivalries? What happened to that conference? Did it just get eaten up by the SEC like everybody else?
You know, it's a weird thing, you know, when collegiate sports have become such a huge moneymaker. Unfortunately, a lot of these decisions, which I can't speak for them, a lot of these decisions seem to be made as far as because of revenue and how money is generated. You know, the Big Eight was one of the best conferences, obviously, in collegiate sports, and then later the Big 12. And then with the exiting of, you know, with the Big Ten doing what they did in the TV contracts and whatnot, for some reason, you know, Coach Osborne and Nebraska thought it'd be a good fit for us to go to the Big Ten, you know, which, you know, we haven't really done so well in the Big Ten and that kind of stuff, but the money that's being generated and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. You lose that. You know, change is inevitable, you know, and but, yeah, you're right. You lose a lot of that. And who knows how things are going to line up now with the Power Five. You know, it's kind of the haves and the have-nots. And so it's all about position and university where you can have a chance to strive and to grow, and that's what you're seeing. So it's unfortunate, you know, but we're going to see how all this plays out. And, you know, now that Texas will be leaving here in a couple of years and some other schools, you know, so we're going to see how the college landscape will once again change.
When you first got on, you were talking about your golf game. Well, your golf game travels. In fact, it's traveling all the way over to Dublin with Executive Global Tours, and you guys will be playing your alma mater, will be playing Northwestern. What got you into doing something like that? And could you talk a little bit about this golf tour and meeting fans and having fun playing golf with them?
Yeah, you know, I started playing golf when I was 13 as a summer job, California. We had to go and clean the weeds and bathrooms of all the public and private courses, and we got paid $3.35 an hour. And with that, we got a chance to learn golf. And we had a golf instructor, our local PE teacher was a golf instructor, and they gave us clubs and that kind of stuff. So we worked in the morning and we played in the afternoon. So that's how I was introduced to golf when I was 13. They were saying how, which is awesome. They were saying how minorities were, you know, were not exposed to golf. And so, and we had all these bunch of kids learning the game of golf. And they paid me $3.35 an hour for that. That was my summer job for the summer. So, I mean, they made more money off me than golf than they could ever get, I tell you, because I did that. So then once I went to college, you know, you're growing different landscapes, you're meeting alums, and they want to go golfing. And, you know, I wasn't intimidated to go golfing because I knew all the etiquette. I knew my way around the golf course, and I wasn't a bad little player. So that made that transition a lot easier in that world. So I did that. And then, of course, you know, when you're playing, you know, college sports, you're ranked number one in the country, and you're trying to win national championships, you just don't have too much time to golf, you know. So I put the clubs away,
right.
And then when I went to Canada, you know, I didn't have time to play. But then when they signed Doug Flutie, and I was playing behind Doug Flutie for 2 or 3 years, I was fresh after games. I didn't have too much to do, so I would get the clubs back out, and I would go golfing, and I would grab some of my buddies, and they're all pissed at me because they're all beat up from the game, and here I am fresh and lively, want to go play a round of golf, you know. So that's one. And then once I retired, I joined a club here, and I started playing, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and just love the game because now you're just competing against the course and that kind of stuff, and you could gamble, you smoke cigars, you're just having a great time. You can walk and get some exercise. So golf was my second love. I just fell in love with it, you know. So I've been doing that since I retired, since 1997. And then you know, so I take golf trips, Pebble Beach, you know, streams. I'm going to all these places, and I was going to start traveling in the U.S. And then it's an opportunity that the Huskers were going to play Illinois last year over in Ireland. And so a lot of my buddies have gone over there. So I was ready to travel that far. I just didn't like to fly. But now I thought, you know, this is a great opportunity. I could go golf, see the world, some of the best courses ever, and then see the Huskers play. But obviously COVID, that was canceled. So now we get this opportunity this year to go play Northwestern. So I'm all in. I'm ready for it and everything. And it's going to be a great time. I mean, and meet some players from Northwestern. They're going to be going out there so we can do that. And kind of see the world now. So I'm really pumped about this. I'm just excited about it. I can't wait for this year to go by so we can do it next year. That's how excited I am.
Well, it's cool because I see another great Nebraska quarterback, Tommy Frazier, is set to go, and Mike Rozier. And I'll tell you something. Back when Tecmo Bowl was out in popular video game, I always played Houston because I always wanted to run with Mike Rozier. So here he is now golfing with fans. That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, Mike Rowe is a great guy. I got to, you know, I spent a lot of time with him. I did a few football camps with him back east in Connecticut. Once I retired, we're going back and forth doing that. And, of course, he comes back to Lincoln, and we golf here and there and stuff. But I just love his spirit. I mean, this guy is just he's just one of the coolest running backs ever. He's Mike Rozier. I mean, he walks his own tune, and he's just himself. And he was a great player. So, yeah, he's going to be over there. You know, we got Tommy Frazier, another quarterback. Believe it or not, he golfs left-handed. Don't ask me how that comes about. yeah, that's weird. I mean, I was a natural left-handed batter. I was drafted by the Yankees as a natural left-handed batter, but I had to learn how to golf right-handed because when they gave us clubs, they just had right-handed clubs. But, right. No, it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time. I think Neil Smith may be joining us, too, as well. So we're going to have some Husker greats, some Husker legends there. So, you know, we're going to golf, socialize with all the people and the fans and everything and, you know, do some sightseeing and take in that culture and go to a couple pubs and, you know, have some Guinness beers and that kind of stuff, some Irish whiskey, and try to shoot even par. But I got to get my back right now. I tweaked my back this morning again. I was supposed to golf tomorrow and went Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and now I'm laying down on the floor with my legs up trying to recover so see if I can swing a club in the next day or two. So it's tough. It's a little rough for me right now.
Well, worst case scenario, you get to drive the cart and have a cigar. So. Maybe that's the worst that comes out of it, right? Or while you get that back feeling better.
Yeah, you can still make some bets if they can hit the green or make a putt. I still have some fun if I can't play. That's what's great about it. I can live through them, but hopefully I can get out and swing a driver and make some putts.
I hear you. And I noticed afterwards now, you're doing a lot of good things. You got the real estate and you're doing a lot of speaking and stuff. Can you just talk about some of the stuff you have going on now? And if people want to, you know, get out and meet Steve Taylor, what should they do?
Yeah, I tell you, man, it's funny how things happen. You know, when I signed my contract in Canada, I bought some condos and stuff up there, you know, just as investments and stuff. Didn't really think about real estate. I wanted to be a recruiting coordinator. I got a communications degree, so I wanted to be a recruiting coordinator for like a major university. That's what I thought I wanted to do. So when I was playing ball up in Canada, I used to come back here and work out. I helped recruit Tommy Frazier and Eric Crouch and some of those guys, and I used to do that. And then one day, Coach Osmond told me, hey, if you're currently a professional athlete, you couldn't have anything to do with enticing players to come to university. So by that time, I was probably 26, 27, you know, had a child, was married, and you're too old to be going to the local bars and clubs and stuff. So I didn't have anything to do. So I just picked up a paper one day and saw this ad about real estate, and I was like, man, that sounds good. I knew what I was paying out on commissions when I was buying these places and that kind of stuff. So I enrolled in some classes, took the classes, passed the local real estate exam, and went back up to Canada and played a couple more years, and then decided to retire. And I went into real estate, and that was going well for me. And that's kind of how I fell into it. And then after that, I did that for, you know, 15, 20 years. I used to represent builders and things of that nature, and I start building houses, and I enjoy that process because you're like a quarterback, you know, and everything. So I've been building houses probably the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, and I've had some success at that. So it's just fun. I love it. You know, you're your own boss. You call your own shots, and you're contributing to the, you know, to the economy, and leaving your mark on leaving this mark in this world, you know, doing some other things besides football. So far, so good, you know, and the economy's been, you know, the economy being what it's been. You just got to roll with the punches and position yourself to be successful like anything else. So it's been fun. So that's what I've been doing. My wife has been licensed to go with me for about 15, 20 years, and we work together at it. So she tells me what to buy, what not to buy, and don't spend too much money, that kind of stuff. So she keeps me grounded. So far, so good. Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, look, I really appreciate you letting me catch up with you. And like I said, I enjoyed watching you play. It was fun, and it's even more incredible to get you on the phone and talk to you. And we'll definitely be getting the word out about this trip over to Dublin, and you know, hopefully that all goes well. This, I call it, the COVID devil goes away and everything goes all fine. And like I said, I really appreciate you spending time with us here on the Cave Show.
Yeah, you bet, man. My pleasure. And JP has been excellent. I mean, this guy has done this. He's worked with the San Francisco 49ers and, you know, the Oakland Raiders. He's worked with a lot of NFL teams, Notre Dame, putting these type of things together. And they know what they're doing. They do a good job at it. I saw the itinerary, you know, all the pubs, all the golf courses, all the events and everything. And it's going to be a good time. So hopefully, you know, we'll be pretty much, you know, we'll have this COVID thing kind of under wraps, you know, where we can just really go out and do some things and not have to be too concerned about that. But you know, yeah, it's going to be a great time. And the weather should be good around that time. And we're just going to take it all in and enjoy it.
That sounds good. Well, listen, you take care. I hope that back gets better. And hopefully we catch up soon another time.
Sounds good, my man. Love you and appreciate you. And keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you, brother. You take care now.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The great Steve Taylor. What a pleasure it was to get caught up with him this afternoon. This is why I love doing what I do. We ran over big deals. You're going to run over Steve Taylor. What are you going to say? We have clock. We're up against clock management. No, I'm going to have the same clock management that the coach of the Dallas Cowboys had. We still won the game. But listen, if you want to take time, have fun, go to Dublin 7 days, six nights. Just go to www.executiveglobaltours.com. Book your spot now. You don't want to miss this. Nebraska versus Northwestern. Some of the folks already scheduled on this trip, Mike Rucker, Kenny Bell, Tommy Frazier, Steve Taylor, Aaron Davis, Mike Rozier. Have fun. Like Steve said, drink a couple pints, have a couple cigars, enjoy your time. Life is short. Enjoy it. Definitely enjoy it. Again, that's Executive Global Tours. That's www.executiveglobaltours.com. Book your information as soon as possible. Their price is starting as low as $4,500. Everyone, thank you for hanging with me today. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. We're back tomorrow. Ruth the Truth will be joining us. Thanks, Steve Taylor, for calling in. Thank callers for calling in. We got a bunch of NFL stuff to get to tomorrow. Anything we have today, we put it on the shelf. We'll get it tomorrow for sure. Everyone, appreciate you. Appreciate your time. This has been The Cave Show on PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us social media at The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. At the Sports Cave, Cave is with a K, the website, sportscave.com. Cave is with a K, and you get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone, take care. Be good to each other. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. Tim, bring us home.